It's that time of the year when Christmas and get-togethers and holidays and celebrations happen for about 2 months in a row. And they do not settle down and they do not give up. And constant themes that repeat themselves over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes those themes bring us to a point where we wonder, did we miss the point? And have we missed the point? And as we look at Christmas being a time of emphasis, it's an emphasis on family, it's an emphasis on traditions, an emphasis on basically anything and everything we enjoy, but we want to enjoy to excess, it happens during Christmas. So what should we capitalize on this Christmas? And I believe there are four different things I'd like to dismiss, and one of them is giving. One of them is family, one of them is traditions, and one of them is rejoicing, because I think those four words really come across our focus a lot in the month of December, and a lot in the time of Christmas. And many times during the Christmas season, we come across themes that seem to be there every Christmas. And the words you commonly hear used, and the people, as you go by them, they're in the attitude of Christmas. You're like, can't you just be in a good attitude year-round? That would be great. The attitude of Christmas is a special time during which we're going to see a series on the fact that Christmas is really a time of emphasis. So what points should we leverage? How can we as believers leverage this time of Christmas in order to bring it all to pointing back to God? The doxology that was just saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. It really is the culmination of every part of us saying, God, thank you for this and for that. Everything comes from him. And so as we look at this enforcement of mandatory cheer, the endless Christmas parties, what do we do with the ever-increasing Christmas list and the ever-decreasing budget that we have to work with? How do we balance the Christian life so that we're not forgetting what we should be elevating? So how do we seek to remain balanced in our lives when it seems like the equilibrium, the balance, is far from ever achieved in our society? It's amazing how far off balance we can get in the different aspects of our life. And we can be people of balance. We should be people of balance. And we can go into this Christmas season and confidently celebrate the true reason for the season, Jesus. And we don't have to compromise in any spiritual aspects of our lives. Christmas is not a time to set aside to get in with kids and grandkids. It's a time to direct everyone's hearts to the truth that Jesus came as a baby and left it all for us. The God of the universe left heaven to establish redemption for sinners like you and me. And the only way your relationships can be bought is through the blood of Jesus Christ, not through presents under the tree, because that is the only long-term solution to sin. A present given to someone may last as a temporary gesture and may be sweet. The blood of Jesus Christ given for us is eternal. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the blood that you have shed on the cross. But we know first and foremost you had to come as a baby. You had to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. And Lord, there really was no room for you that night. But I'm praying that somehow in some way, us as believers can make room for you in our lives this Christmas. Whether it would be through the traditions that we do and have set up, or something new and something vibrant that we can bring back into our lives this Christmas. We praise you for all that you do, and I pray that you would help this teaching on the subject of giving to be not a thing that rattles us, but allows us to see that proper giving comes out of love. And we thank you so much for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving has a of a believer this Christmas. Giving has the place in a life of a believer this Christmas. So how is giving such a huge part of Christmas for a believer? How can you leverage it for the Lord and for God's glory? Giving is a part of the grand part of celebrating Christmas, because giving was involved in the incarnation. The incarnation. Most people, they've heard the name, they've heard the word, but what does it really mean? It means that God came down from heaven and dwelt among men. It's taking Jesus and bringing him down to earth in the form of a baby, the baby Jesus. The incarnation is the fact that Jesus came to earth as the God-man. He came in the flesh while still being fully God, and therefore was given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The incarnation then, in short, is God with us. So how was giving involved in the incarnation of Jesus Christ to the world? We don't have to look very far or strain our brains too much to think of the verse that we are mostly familiar with, even if we are not from church. If we've ever watched a sports activity or something on TV where the verse John 3:16 comes up, we have heard it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Giving was involved in the incarnation when God gave his Son, Jesus Christ. God gave first so that we didn't have to give up life, but instead would have everlasting life. And as we look at the verse a little bit closer, we see a part in that verse that says perish. Perish. Why did God give? Because we were perishing people. We were going to perish in our sins. God gave first. We were perishing without Jesus. And even though God was giving up his Son, Jesus Christ, his only Son, the only one of its kind, he had a special relationship with God the Son. He did it out of pure motivation of love for the world, for every single soul. Every single soul that has ever walked this ground, Jesus was sent out of God's great love. In Romans 8:32, if you would like us to turn with me this morning, or get out your phones and type in these passages, Romans 8:32. We're going to go into a lot of passages this morning, and you might wonder why. And I believe that when we study a topic or we remove ourselves from a book of the Bible, we must always focus on the words that are used and talk about them in the context that they're about in. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Give us all things. It says that this act of God given to us freely by his, this act of God giving us freely his Son should tell us that there is no limit to what God is willing to sacrifice to meet us where our needs are. It reads, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Giving is so foundational to God's character. His character is filled with the need to remedy and to redeem man. He knows that there is an issue. He is our great physician, as I talked about earlier, as I was praying. He does meet our needs, and he knows how to diagnose our situation. He is our remedy. And so when we look at this time of the year and think, What a great time to give. What a great time to even receive. We must remember that every single good gift that we have received comes from the Father. He is willing to give us even life itself when we deserve death. James chapter 1, verse 7. This is really talking about trials, and it's talking about, then it goes on to say, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then it says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. In other words, ask God for wisdom, because we do lack it. Verse 6 goes on to say, hey, the person who asks in faith with doubting, he's like a wave, driven and tossed by the wind. And then verse 7, for let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No variation or shadow of turning. As we look at the gift of Jesus Christ, we are able to see that the same God that has gifted us with salvation is the same God that continues to give us every good gift. His motives do not change, and he's never looking for anything for salvation but our trust in him. And when God came down in Jesus Christ, he gave not only his life, but in coming down, he gave life to the world. John chapter 6 and verse 33. John 6:33 says this. John 6:33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, I have observed people show up and sit back. I've observed myself show up and sit back. But when Jesus showed up, he knew that he was going to be our shepherd, that one day he would be giving his life for the sheep, that he would have to not only come as a baby, but he would have the whole thing. He would have to live his entire life for 30-some years, and then be crucified. John 10, just turning to the right a few more pages. John 10, still on the subject of giving, how God gave Jesus Christ, and how Jesus Christ gave his life. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus is talking, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Where did his motivation come from? Turning to, again, just the right a little ways, to verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So as you look at giving a special gift or giving something essential to a person in need, be reminded and share with others how God gave so much for you. And continue to think about how much you're reminded of his gift during Christmas time. Galatians chapter 1 and 2, if you would turn there with me. Galatians. Past Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 2:20, a verse you may be familiar with. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Giving, giving, giving. Those two verses screams to us that he gave of himself. He gave of himself. And each and every time we think about what Jesus did, we are called to walk as Jesus walked. He gave himself. I don't know if you're planning on giving up yourself. I don't know if I'm planning on giving up myself, my rights, my dreams, my emotions, my whole entirety to someone this Christmas. If you're getting married or are married, you've already been called to that. Truth is, you should and are commanded to. But Jesus did give his everything. And those of you who are not married, who are sitting here today, you're like, what should I do? You should give entirely of yourself to Jesus Christ this morning. Because he deserves our praise. Because he deserves every bit of our lives. Jesus did give his everything for us. And so we can to him. We can gladly crucify, Galatians 2:20, our passions, our sinful passions, our sinful desires on the cross. Maybe even our non-sinful that we think may not be sinful, that though still take up a place where God should be honored. Maybe there's something you have to give up this Christmas. Because Jesus loved us, he gave himself up for us so that we could live for him. Why don't we give ourselves up this Christmas to his control? Each and every believer has that ability to allow Jesus Christ to do something in your life this Christmas. To do something in your life today. Giving is a grand part of celebrating Christmas. Because giving was involved in the incarnation. Giving was also involved in the foundational years of the early church. We're just going to keep talking about giving this morning. We need to know where it started. How can we have the motivation to give? And then we need to see how it was practiced. And then we can see how it then transitions into our lives today. Giving involved in the early church. There were commands to the Jews to give without turning someone away. This was to the Jews. There were commands for believers to stop stealing, but instead give what you have to the needy. Ephesians chapter 4 is such an interesting verse. Ephesians 4:28. It talks about lying, putting lying away. Let each of you speak with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Let the sun go down on your wrath. Let him who stole steal no longer. And how do they do that? But rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to who has need. So interesting. Okay, we're good. I always pay attention when James is walking towards me. Always. All right. All through the New Testament, there were individuals within the church that were helping out with the needs of the other saints. Paul would make a need known. James would make a need known. And then the church as a whole would try to give and support those needs and help out with other saints and what they were going through. There was relief for the saints of Jerusalem who were experiencing extreme poverty. And that relief came from other people within the body of Christ. The churches in Macedonia. They even gave in their deep poverty, and even above and beyond their ability, they gave to these churches. They put themselves out there so that they could support the work of God in the world. And it's interesting to me that Paul here applauds this giving spirit of the churches of Macedonia that gave according to their ability and beyond. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, we read a little bit past that this morning in our scripture reading, but I'd like to read verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, and you can still go there and meet me there. I've got a couple of verses I'm going to read. Now concerning things offered to idols, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That is not the right passage, sorry. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That sounds right. Verse 2, that in of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. What does liberality mean? It means they're giving. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would take the gift. No, that they would receive the gift of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. They first gave them to themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Such a powerful passage, and it reads really nicely about the fact that they were not only applauded for the giving of monetary things, but they were also giving themselves to the Lord before ever giving in a monetary way. Romans 12:1 talks all about the giving of self, how we are offering ourselves as sacrifices to the Lord. And you know the problem with a living sacrifice? The problem with a living sacrifice is you can crawl down off of that altar each and every day, and you have to put yourself back on that altar of sacrifice for others. Every day, you have to make a decision. Am I going to be willing to give of myself? And that is what each and every day I pray, is that we would have the right motive before action. That we wouldn't just do things so that when we minister and act, it will always be with the right heart. Giving before having the right heart is never going to make us more godly, or simply doing things nice does not simply make us nice. Giving should always come from the heart first. There have been times where I've received a gift from someone, and I knew they did not want to give the gift to me. And you know in that moment, it's not as special of a gift to receive if you know that they are dreading giving it to you. I almost felt like returning it. I didn't, though. I mean, it's there. No, sorry. Bad moment. All right, in this Christmas, in this time of Christmas, I think the same principle is true of us today. We should always be sure to be cheerful givers. Take 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 8. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. What is the importance of giving? A matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. When we give of our hearts and give our souls to the Lord first, and then we give to others as a means of generosity, even out of the hard spot that it is sometimes for us to give out of, it is still able. God is still able to make all sufficiency for you in all things. He will get you through. As we look at this passage, giving was never necessarily a financial manner to God. Does God have all he needs? God always has all he needs. Instead, it was a sacrifice that flowed out of a right heart, a heart of generosity. When you see a family in need, or when a need presents itself to you, never give just because you feel bad. Never give just because you feel bad. Instead, give because you want to. Give because the Lord has blessed you. Give because you love others unconditionally. And with the right heart of the God has blessed you with everything that you have, we will not be tied down with the restriction of 10% of the 100% that God has given you. We're not restricted by the 10% of the 100% that God has blessed us with, but we'll give 100% to God of ourselves as we and as you look to order our lives, my life. According to our lives, may we not be held back by an established practice, but let us be guided in our giving by forethought. love, sacrifice. A kind of love that is promoted by generosity that goes way beyond a prescribed amount. We have no set amount you have to give as a member of Vermontville Bible Church. We believe that that is between you and the Lord as you give yourself to Him. And we have no limit to what God can do through what you and the way you support this church, whether it be of offering yourselves by serving. And we have no limits to what God can do in our community around us when we are generous. We are here for each other to meet the needs of one another and to shine a light in this community for Christ. Just because 10% is more of a principle or a good thing to work by, it still is not commanded for the believer today. But even in that, we should still be willing to give many of our possessions often and willingly to support the work of God and the people of God in this community. 1 Corinthians. Sorry, it's so hard to keep those straight when you're going back and forth. All right, 16:2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. We are commanded to support those who preach the gospel. And by consequence, also the ministries that allow the platform by which the gospel is preached. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God gives you, but we're to be generous to those in need. Wealth can so easily become an idol, leading us to abandon the Lord, where generosity can lead us to a deeper and a greater trust in His character altogether. God is great and greatly to be praised, and He is everything that we treasure. So for many of us in the West, where our goals are not always life and death, maybe that means giving more than 10% monetarily. Maybe it means giving something that's not monetary. Maybe that means whatever God is giving you a desire to do. The Holy Spirit works in your life. The Holy Spirit will take your life and lead you step by step and give you right you should help, that you should support. We must always remember that Scripture is to be applied to the right audience in the right time. And Scripture is always to be our rule and authority in all matters. Giving is a grand part of celebrating Christmas because giving was involved in the Incarnation. Giving was involved in the foundational years of the early church, and even today, giving should be a big part of our lives as well. Giving is experienced in our lives today. I think the first way we can experience giving in our lives today is to heed the advice that Paul gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, "Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." What Paul is referring to is the fact that Timothy could set an example in the way that he lived. And as he set examples in several areas of his life, the folks around him would see that example and see, obviously, the way that his life has grown and progressed. We want to be giving, and the excuse that we often give is that we don't know what we can give. The easiest way to get out of a task is to act to the task. Men come to changing diapers or changing clothes of a child. It's very easy to say, "I don't know what they need done. I don't know what they want to wear that day," rather than to ask, "What is it that I should put on them?" We want to be giving. And so often we act confused about what God wants from us, because we do not really want to be all in. But we do not want to be accused of saying no either. Giving of our lives is essential to growing in our walk with the Lord. Psalm 34:4, it's a principle. It says, "Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." As we give our lives to the will of God, we will begin to see that the desires of our heart and the desires of God's heart fall in line with each other. It is the gift that keeps on giving. He gave first in His Son, Jesus Christ. And after trusting Christ for salvation, there is a point in our lives where We can make that commitment to live for the Lord. And if we give ourselves to Him and to His will, and if we transform and renew our minds, then one day we will be able to see that His desires are lining right up with ours. Giving is a grand part of celebrating Christmas. Giving was involved in the foundational years of the early church. It was involved in Jesus coming to earth as a baby. And today, giving should be a big part of our lives as a church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that not all giving is something that you... It's not a gift underneath the Christmas tree always. Lord, sometimes giving is just taking your life and giving it up. Lord, you've given us 100% of what we have today. And sometimes we achieve even some of that 100% through dishonest means. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to reconsider our lives and the direction of our lives. To always consider the fact that you want us holy before we ever do anything for your church. Lord, you want our trust in Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And then the amount and the abundance of the way that you can use us is beyond our comprehension. And we thank you for it. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we go from here to put into practice what you have taught us today. In Jesus' name, amen.